Hi, this is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is Guy Davis.
Wearing my old shoes, oh, Lord, I got on my new shoes now. I was wearing my old shoes, well, I got on my new shoes now. Yes, I feel like dancing, I feel like dancing. I was wearing my old clothes, but Lord, I got on my new clothes now. I was wearing my old clothes, well, I got on my new clothes now. Yes, I feel like dancing, I feel like dancing. Dance like a chicken. I was thinking my old thoughts. Lord, I'm thinking some new thoughts now. I was thinking my old thoughts. Well, I'm thinking some new thoughts now. Yes, I feel like dancing, I feel like dancing. Well, I got on my new shoes, and I'm wearing my new clothes. You know I'm thinking of new thoughts, and yes, I feel like dancing, I feel like dancing.
Hi, this is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome Guy Davis. How are you doing?
Doing okay, John.
Great to have you in the studio here talking shop with us. Guy's music, I'm sure, is going to be very familiar to our listeners, a musician, composer, actor, director, and writer. And the most recent studio recording, if I'm not mistaken, is Sweetheart Like You.
Yes.
Okay, 2009 recording. I guess maybe one of the places I wanted to start, and it's kind of related to the catalog, is... A lot of times when you do research for an interview and you're trying to find out more about a musician you think you know something about, but you dig a little bit deeper and you start looking at the CDs. And one of the things that interested me when I looked at your discography was there's a CD that goes back, or I don't know if it was even a CD, 1978, and then there's a big pause, and then all of a sudden 1993, and then you're incredibly prolific. So I guess I maybe want to go back to that first project. I mean, obviously you're involved in music and acting extensively, but it seemed like there was definitely a switch that went on for you to make that more of a priority. Is that accurate?
John, in 1978, I was working in a factory in New York State, and I got a call from Pete Seeger, and he and his wife, Toshi, introduced me to Mo Ash, who was the head of Folkways Records. Mm. And I somehow managed to get a $300 grant to record an album called Dreams About Life. And it was my first recording effort. I took that $300 and bought myself a tape recorder and didn't bother to spend it directly in the studio and recorded myself. And I learned a lot by that. I learned that I'm definitely not a recording engineer, that's for sure. But that time in my life, there was a lot of change, a lot of transition. That factory I was working in, they made wax there. There all kinds of wax that you put on paper cups, wax that they use in dental offices, wax for all kinds of purposes, wax even with fiberglass in it. Hmm. And the signal to get out of that job was when, on two occasions, I burnt my legs. One leg, and then months later, the other leg, both in the same spot. And that was saying to me, leave. It was that time that I got much more involved in show business. I started taking acting classes, things down in New York City. And all the things that you said that I do, the writer, the actor, the director, the musician, these are the kind of things that you tell your parents you want to be, and they're thinking, this kid ain't going to make no money. This kid ain't going to do anything. My God, we're going to have to get somebody in here to force him out at gunpoint. Get up from the breakfast table, son. You've had your last cornflake in our house. Well, I don't know what form of lunkheadedness it is in me that made me continue to go on with pursuing theater, showbiz, acting. But I've always wanted to perform. I know that I've always wanted to be in front of people when I was small and couldn't do anything but wave diapers. Had nothing to do with talent, skill of any kind. Just I wanted to be in front of people. Uh-huh. And fortunately, over the year, I've managed to build up a few skills on top of some talent. And I'm a very happy man about that. So it wasn't until the early 90s that I started making records on a regular basis.
Storyville. Guy, I want to get back to you talking about the household you grew up in, because this is not your average household. In case some listeners are not familiar with this fact, the son of tremendous actors, Ozzie Davis and Ruby Dee. So obviously you grew up in an artistic household. So this decision to go into show business was not a total, couldn't have been a total shock.
My parents didn't pressure myself or my sisters in any way to go into show business. They said, you know, stay focused on school, do what you got to do, be the best at whatever it is you do. But I bit the bullet. I somehow loved just being in front of people. It is strange, though, because when we were younger, my sisters and I all had to take piano lessons. Hmm. And I was the first one to quit. Hmm. Now I'm the only one making a living doing music.
That's
you
interesting.
Go figure that.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you that. So obviously it was an artistic household, but my question was there a lot of music going on being made in the household?
Not so much music being made in the household. The piano lessons and that kind of playing was fairly academic. My mother was good at it. My parents were much more in the acting and the writing side of things, but they exposed us all to a lot of music, starting with Fats Waller and his rhythm, and Ola Tunji's Drums of Passion, and Harry Belafonte, and these wonderful recordings that were around then. And we listened to a lot of radios, radio plays, radio dramas, radio shows. We got to meet a lot of people who came to the house. And also didn't get to meet some people, some amazing people who stopped at the house and just to talk with my parents. People like Malcolm X, people like Paul Robeson.
Wow.
You know, they haven't decided if he's a friend or enemy of America, but I know him as a friend. I didn't meet him, but I know of him through my parents that he is a friend. And Harry Belafonte and Sidney Poitier and these kinds of people would come to the house and my parents would have little soirees and us little button-headed kids would be just up there with our noses in everybody's business trying to, and finally they'd put us to bed and then you'd hear the laughter really start upstairs. Uh-huh. Yeah, there was a lot going on in that house.
Mm-hmm.
But the art that was around us was simply there. It was not being stuck in our faces. It was there.
Mm.
And I think my parents were concerned about us being exposed to everything and everybody. Wrong down south when you do anything that's wrong down south when you do anything that's wrong they'll show put you down on the county farm put you on the man named Captain Jack put you on the man named Captain Jack put you under my name, Captain Jack. He'll show, write his name up and down your back. Ditch with a great long spade. Put you down in a ditch with a great long spade. Put you down in a ditch with a great long spade. You'll show, wish that it had never been made. On Sunday.
the boys be feeling bad. On Sunday, the boys be feeling bad. On Sunday, the boys be feeling bad. Well, they thinking about the great long time they had.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm joined today by Guy Davis. Guy, I know that one of your most important influences beyond other musicians was your grandmother. And if I'm not mistaken, it was her speech?
Basically, yes. I called it the music of her Southern speech.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I was raised in a household where myself and sisters were encouraged to learn to speak the English language as good as the white man. Mm-hmm. And we did. My gosh, my mother had been a speech major in college, so we could do all that. But my grandmother had no more than a fifth grade education, and she was this amazing woman, a community leader kind of woman. And her husband, my granddad, had been a railroad track liner and a deacon in the church, but they were the kind of people you could depend on and go to. And my grandmother was one of the best storytellers I think I've ever heard. I think the music of her speech is a lot of what I look for subjectively in music that I create. There's a rhythm. I try to leave room in the music that I play for people's own imaginations and visions to come into play. But when I play it, when I create the music, I'm hearing a lot of what was my grandma's way of speaking.
And your grandmother lived to be 105, am I right?
105, just weeks short of 106, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Guy, talk to me about writing music, writing original music, your own tunes, and doing so in a way that you stick close to the traditional style. Well, I mean, not just the tradition. Obviously, there's the Piedmont, there's the Delta, a number of different voices within what we generally just kind of lump in as acoustic blues. But it strikes me that that could be either a challenge or also be, I don't know if a relief is the right word, but to stay within a particular, at least a particular ballpark anyway, and write original tunes that when you put them alongside your renditions of classics and by classics I mean classic blues tunes that go back decades and decades and decades, sound like they go hand in hand.
Well, I come at that from all kinds of sides, John. I give myself the freedom to create any way that I like. And I can take a song and make it sound like it came out of the mouth of Robert Johnson or Blind Boy Fuller or something like that. Or I can have fun with it and put something in there that doesn't belong. I know my CD, the latest, Sweetheart Like You, has a song on it called Words to My Mama's Song,
mm-hmm.
which delves into some hip-hop. It's got psychedelic, it's got a little bit of everything in there, but that was what was coming out of me, the creative stage. Now the hard thing is when somebody hands you a chunk of money and says, I need 8 songs by Friday, and they all have to be 1930s blues style, but they got to be originals. Then that's hard, but
yeah.
It can be done. I know if you've already been paid, you got to get up off that work. You choose a topic, you get your rhyme schemes, then you write out a whole bunch of stuff, and then you just take away what doesn't belong, what doesn't say what you want the song to say. So when I'm not getting paid enough, I've got the freedom to create, and when I'm getting paid a plenty, maybe a little less freedom, but it's all fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a good challenge.
Ice caps, try and drown me in the sea, burn me out of my home, if that's your cup of tea. You can lay waste to my vineyards, starve all of my tribe. Cause you think you own everything and you feel justified. Why didn't I see it coming? How could I have been so wrong? Well, I wish I could remember all the words to my mama's song. If I could change my life story, if I could start all over again, I wouldn't leave one building standing, I'd even choose you to be my friend. I'd let you pick all the cotton, I'd let you sing all the blues, I'd let you be your own mammy, I'd let you shine all my damn shoes. Why didn't I see it coming? How could I have been so wrong? Well, I wish I could remember all the words to my mama's song. Yo, Marshall, what you got to say?
Take a picture of my heart, send it to my mother. Take a picture of my mouth, tell her I was laughing. Take a picture of my ear, tell her I was listening. Take a picture of my eyes, tell her I was looking.
Good. You can put me in your prison, walls 1,000 feet high. You can charge me with sedition, tell me I'm a spy. You can torture me, you can chain me, you can beat me till I cry. You can shoot me with your guns, you can stone me till I die. Why didn't I see it coming? How could I have been so wrong? Well, I wish I could remember all the words to my mama's song. I'm gonna tear down these walls, the government don't own me. I'm gonna kick down the door, religion can't force me. I'm gonna stomp in the roof, television can't persuade me. I'm gonna chase out the hate, I'm gonna shoot down the hypocrisy. I can pray louder than propaganda, I can sing louder than intolerance, I can talk louder than hatred, I can fart louder than your bombs. I make blankets out of the flag, I make plows out of the swords, I make shoes out of the tanks, I make houses out of the rockets, I make forgiveness out of your fascism, I make politicians live in the projects, I turn the palaces into schools, I turn rifles into books, I'll turn ammunition into food. I'll turn tears into clean rivers. I'll turn the homeless into Supreme Court justices. I'll make peace out of your wars. I'll make love, love, love out of your hate.
Take a picture of my heart, my heart, my heart. Send it to my mother.
Guy, we talked a little bit at the beginning about the balancing of acting and music. For years, you've done both in terms of juggling between the two as because you've continued your acting career as you progressed in your recording career, but also combining the two with the Broadway piece about Robert Johnson and Mulebaum was the name of the
that piece I got on Broadway a bunch of years ago. That exposure, I was the understudy for 4 people in that play, so I rarely got to go on stage. But the times I did, I had a lot of fun. But while I was off stage, I wanted to be on. So I would be underneath the stage every performance. There was a huge room down there. That was our green room. I sat down there and I wrote myself a one-man play while I was listening to them above me on the stage. That motivated me because I wanted something. I wanted to get a piece of this. That was my first time getting on a Broadway stage. My second time getting on a Broadway stage was in 2009 and also 2010, the Broadway musical Finian's Rainbow. Now this play originally opened back in 1947, and Sonny Terry, the blind harmonica player, had the part of the blind sharecropper who played harmonica on stage while a beautiful girl danced. And when the play opened up in 2009, 2010, I had his part. I got to play the part of that harmonica player. Man, I must have threatened to kill them if they didn't give me this part, because what Sonny Terry plays is impossible. And I'm not trying to pump myself by saying that. I'm trying to say that if you Google him playing Hootin' the Blues on YouTube, you'll hear stuff that is just, it'll make you jump up and slap yourself. It's like, wow, how does he do? How do you breathe and talk and sing and play the harmonica at the same time? Well, it took me 20 years to figure out what I have figured out, and I still don't have it all. I still do not have it all, but it was enough for me to get on stage and play that harmonica. And man, that experience, I just grew. It's like inside the space of me went on for miles. Outside, I just look like a man 6 feet tall, but if you open my mouth and shine a flashlight down there, it's just like it goes on for miles. That's how I felt from that experience. I actually had to improve as a musician. And you can never be too good. There's always room for improvement. I call that the Obama mantra. There's always room for improvement. That's what my first and second grade teacher used to put on my report card, room for improvement.
So it sounds like combining those two things is really motivating for you. Your love of the blues music and love of theater and get in front of people, which goes back to, as you said, tossing diapers around when you were a child. You know, it gets down to you, to your base soul.
I think so. I don't know that they'd want me to get up there and play Laertes or Hamlet or something like that, because I'd be one to come out there with the guitars. But this niche I've carved out for myself, I think works. This puts me on the path of what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know it and I feel it. And, you know, when I get in front of people, an audience, man, that's what I'm there to do, is to share it. Not beat them over the head with it, but make room for them in the room. Let's have fun. Let's see what we can do with this.
Well, so many people spend their whole lives trying to find what you're describing, that thing that you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, John, I meet so many people on the road who hate their jobs. Lucky enough that they are to have a job. They hate what they do. And I'm lucky enough to love what I do, despite the difficulties of being stuck in airports and weird travel and being overtaxed. it's what I know I'm supposed to be doing. I was the young kid, 7, 8 years old, sitting down in the front of the auditorium with the big saucer-sized eyes, looking at a performer, a man or a woman with a guitar, standing there playing. To me, that was magic, that you could take this chunk of wood with some wire on it and make these beautiful sounds. So when I do a show, I'm appealing to the child in all of us. If there's somebody out there who's motivated, they're going to leave that show more motivated. And that's what I look for.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm talking today with Guy Davis. GuyDavis.com is the name of the website where you can find out all kinds of information about the various projects that Guy is involved in. Also, I believe there's a new DVD out as well for your guitar fans.
Guitar Artistry of Guy Davis.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, thank you so much for making time to talk shop with us here on Musician Spotlight. Hope we get a chance to speak down the road.
You're welcome, John, and thank you for having me here.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Guy Davis. If you'd like to contact us, you can send us an email through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also find us on Facebook and as well at our own website, musicianspotlight.org. Musician Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.